Hi there, listener. Before we dive in, I want you to know that this podcast is AI generated. It's crafted from the topics and principles shared in the Bye Bye Panic Anxiety Recovery Program. And while AI helps bring this content to life, the recovery tools and insights remain rooted in the principles that have helped so many people overcome their symptoms for good. Enjoy the episode.
Okay, let's dive right in.
Yeah.
We're talking about that feeling, that dread, so many of you know, waking up and bam, it feels like you've been hit by a truck, like the day's already lost before you even, you know, get out of bed.
Yeah.
Racing thoughts, heart pounding, maybe feeling sick to your stomach, just this overwhelming sense of doom.
It's incredibly common. And that cycle you described, it's brutal.
It really is. It's worst in the morning. Then it kind of eases off during the day.
It gives you that false hope at night.
Exactly. You think, maybe I'm okay now. And then boom. Next morning, it's right back, full force. So confusing.
It is. And that cycle is probably one of the biggest things that keeps people feeling stuck, feeling like the uniquely broken. But you're not. What you're feeling, there's a name for it. Morning anxiety. And honestly, the vast majority of people dealing with ongoing anxiety experience this. So our mission today really is to unpack why. Why does this happen? Because, spoiler, it's not you, it's not a personal failing. And more importantly, we want to give you some simple, genuinely actionable things you can do. Things focused on, you know, long-term freedom, getting out of that pattern for good.
Okay, I love that. Let's start with the why then. Understand what's actually going on, I think, can take away some of the fear, maybe. Is it just psychological, or is there something physical, biological happening right when we wake up?
It's actually both, and they kind of collide perfectly, unfortunately, right in the morning. What you're feeling is a surge of hormones, specifically cortisol.
Cortisol, the stress hormone, right?
Well, yes, it's often called that, the stress-regulating hormone, but yeah. It doesn't just spike when you're stressed out. It has this natural rhythm, a cycle throughout the day, and everyone, absolutely everyone, whether they have anxiety or not, gets a natural cortisol spike right after waking up. It's called the cortisol awakening response. CRR. For sure.
Okay.
Yeah. And the CIR is meant to be helpful, actually. It starts rising as you transition from sleep to waking. And it usually peaks maybe 30, 45 minutes after you open your eyes.
Huh.
This spike is what kind of gently nudges you out of bed, gets your blood pressure up a bit, gets you ready to face the day. Think of it like your body's own natural morning coffee.
A gentle push. Mm-hmm. Okay. But for someone with anxiety, it doesn't feel gentle at all. It feels like a shove off a cliff.
What?
So why? Is it that people with anxiety just produce, like, way more cortisol than everyone else?
That's the key question, isn't it? And usually it's not about producing massively more cortisol. It's more about how your nervous system responds to that normal amount. The crucial factor here is something called a sensitized nervous system. This term comes from Dr. Claire Weeks, a real pioneer in anxiety recovery.
Dr. Claire Weeks, right. I've heard that term, sensitized.
Yeah. Her big insight was that chronic anxiety often isn't about a real present danger. It's about a nervous system that's become, well, over-irritated, chronically edgy. So it reacts in this really exaggerated way to normal everyday stuff, like that cortisol spike.
Okay, so how does that work? How does it get sensitized?
It ties back to something called the HPA axis, hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis. That's the main system controlling your stress response. When you've been anxious for a while, this whole system can become overly responsive, kind of stuck in high gear.
This is like, ew, jumpy.
Exactly. Think of it like a car alarm that goes off if a leaf falls on it, or maybe a speaker system turned way, way too loud.
Okay.
So even that small, normal input, the morning cortisol bump, hits the super sensitive system. And instead of a gentle wake-up signal, it triggers a massive blaring alarm, full-blown fight or flight.
Wow. Okay.
And that explains why you get those immediate, intense physical symptoms, the racing heart, the shaking, that awful feeling of doom, or like, nothing's real. It's the normal CR hitting sensitized nerves.
It makes so much sense.
Yep.
And it kind of takes the blame off, doesn't it? It's not you failing. It's just biology meeting this temporary state of sensitization.
Precisely. It's temporary. That's so vital to hold on to. This morning, anxiety is your now, but it absolutely does not have to be your forever. There's nothing fundamentally wrong with you.
That's really hopeful.
It is. But here's the trap people fall into. because the symptoms feel so physical and scary. The
right.
nausea, the heart stuff, the weird thoughts.
Yeah.
They get hyper-focused on the symptoms. They start Googling heart palpitations, worrying about stomach issues, constantly needing reassurance that it's just anxiety.
We're trying to fix the feeling itself.
Exactly. And that focus on the symptoms, it actually keeps the anxiety loop going strong. It tells your brain, see, these feelings are dangerous. Keep scanning.
But hang on. Isn't it risky to just ignore physical symptoms?
Yeah.
What if it is something else this time? People worry about that.
Yeah. That's a really important point, and you absolutely have to be responsible. If you have new or genuinely alarming physical symptoms, the first step is always check in with your doctor, get a medical workup, rule things out.
Okay, so get checked first.
Yes, but here's the critical pivot. Once your doctor confirms these feelings stem from anxiety, that medical investigation needs to end. That's when the recovery journey begins. If you keep focusing on the symptoms after you've been cleared medically, you're just keeping that nervous system on high alert. You're constantly poking the bear, basically.
Okay, I get it.
So the real first step towards getting free is shifting your focus. Move away from the symptoms, the palpitations, the nausea, the what-if thoughts, and focus on the root cause, which is the underlying sensitization, the core anxiety.
Treat the fire, not the smoke alarm.
Exactly. If you can desensitize that core nervous system, all those scary morning symptoms, they just stop naturally, permanently.
What about things like, you know, sleep hygiene, cutting out coffee, taking supplements? People try all that stuff to stop the morning surge.
Yeah, and those things can sometimes help a bit with overall well-being. Good sleep is always good, right?
Sure.
But they're usually not the primary solution if the main issue is sensitization. They're kind of like tidying the edges of the problem. If your nervous system is still fundamentally overreactive, that cortisol spike, even if it's maybe slightly smaller, is still going to feel like a tidal wave. We have to address how we react to the spike itself.
Okay. So it's about changing the reaction, not necessarily tweaking the body's chemistry perfectly.
That's the core of it.
Right. Let's get into the how. The actionable steps. This is what people really need. You mentioned two main things. Allowing the anxiety and continuing with your day. Let's break down allowing. What does that actually look like, especially when you feel like frozen in bed, paralyzed by that dread?
Okay, this is probably the most important mental shift you can make. Allowing means choosing non-resistance. It's not giving up, it's actively accepting. So you wake up, you feel it, the dread, the racing heart, whatever it is for you. The first step is to recognize it for what it is.
Yeah.
To tell yourself, okay, this is that car spike hitting my sensitive nerves. This is just anxiety manifesting.
Acknowledge it. Don't fight it.
Exactly. You have to consciously decide to let the feelings be there. Don't try to stop them. Don't try to push them away. Don't analyze why they're there.
Yeah.
Just allow their presence. Think of it like bad weather passing through. You acknowledge it's raining, but you don't try to argue with the clouds.
Okay.
Because the second you start fighting it, oh no, I can't feel like this. I have to make it stop. You send a powerful signal to your brain that this feeling is dangerous. And what does your brain do? It ramps up the stress response again. It keeps that HPA axis fired up, reinforcing the sensitization.
So fighting it makes it worse.
Paradoxically, yes. Allowing it, just letting it be there while you get on with things, is how you start to teach your nervous system, hey, this feeling is uncomfortable, sure, but it's not actually a threat. That's the foundation of desensitization, living normally alongside the feeling.
Okay. That makes sense, but it sounds really hard in the moment. Which leads to the second step you mentioned, continuing with your day. I mean, people hear that and they think, easy for you to say, I feel like a bomb went off inside me. How do you actually do that when you feel dizzy or sick or just terrified?
It is hard, probably the hardest part. But consistency here is absolutely everything for desensitization. It requires, honestly, a kind of radical action. You must continue with your normal routine as much as humanly possible. Get up, shower, make breakfast, go to work or school, drive the car, whatever your day holds.
Even if you feel awful.
Especially if you feel awful. The key instruction is act as if everything is fine. Not because you're pretending the feeling isn't there, but because you're refusing to let the feeling dictate your actions. You internally acknowledge, okay, the dread is here, or yep, feeling shaky, but then you immediately pivot your attention and action to the task at hand.
So don't lie in bed analyzing it.
Definitely not. Don't check your pulse constantly. Don't call someone for reassurance every 5 minutes. If the feelings spike while you're driving, you keep driving. You don't turn back. This is exposure and habituation in action. You're showing your body through your consistent actions that despite these intense internal alarms, you are actually safe. You're okay. That's the only way the nervous system eventually learns to recalibrate and turn down that excessive volume. It needs that real-world evidence.
So the action itself is the message to the nervous system. See? We did the thing, and we survived.
Precisely. You're providing undeniable proof that the perceived threat level is wrong.
What's the payoff, then? How quickly can people expect to see results if they actually manage to stick with this allowing and continuing?
This is the really encouraging part. What people often notice first isn't that the intensity drops immediately, but the duration starts to shrink.
Ah, okay.
Maybe when they start, that awful morning feeling lasts until, say, 6 p.m., it just clings to them all day. But as they consistently practice this non-resistance, this allowing and moving forward, they notice, maybe after a few weeks, it actually seemed to lift around 3 p.m. today.
Okay.
Then maybe it starts lifting by lunchtime, then 11 a.m. And gradually over time, it shortens and shortens until one day they realize it's just gone. Or it's just that normal, brief, gentle wake-up feeling. Seeing that duration decrease is powerful evidence that healing is happening. It gives you the hope and motivation to keep going.
That's huge. Seeing tangible progress.
It really is. And there's another angle here, too. That surge of energy you feel in the morning, the adrenaline, the cortisol, it feels awful, like pure anxiety.
Yeah, it feels like paralyzing energy.
Yeah, right. But it is energy. It doesn't have to be paralyzing. We actually encourage people to try and channel it. Use that initial high energy state, that extra push, to tackle something difficult right away. The task you've been dreading or putting off.
Like lean into the energy.
Kind of. If you turn that feeling, which feels like overwhelm, into focused action. Maybe you power clean the kitchen or write that difficult email first thing or start that project you've avoided. You're doing this amazing cognitive reversal. You're taking energy that felt like dread and turning it into accomplishment. It rewires the association.
That's a fantastic reframe. Use the anxiety fuel for something productive instead of letting it just consume you.
Exactly. It gives you a sense of agency back right when you feel most powerless.
Okay, so let's pull this all together. The core message for overcoming morning anxiety seems to be acceptance and action.
Absolutely. Healing really kicks in when you accept the morning anxiety for what it is. Just a temporary, exaggerated, but ultimately harmless response. It's that hormonal spike hitting a sensitized system. That's it. And the path forward is consistently choosing not to fight it, not to fear it, not to endlessly analyze it. Instead, you allow it and you move forward with your day regardless.
And over time, as that nervous system heals you, you use the analogy of a wound closing up the CRR spike will still happen because that's normal.
Right. It's healthy biology.
But it won't irritate the nerves in the same way. The volume goes back to normal. You can wake up feeling, well, normal again, maybe even good.
That's the goal. Ease and enthusiasm instead of dread. And it's entirely possible. But, you know, while understanding the CRR and sensitization is crucial and gives immediate relief just knowing why, actually doing this consistently is tough.
Yeah, it sounds simple. But doing it day after day when you feel that panic, that takes serious commitment.
It really does. And that's why getting some structured guidance or support can make such a difference. Sticking with that radical consistency, that non-resistance, especially in the face of intense morning fear, it's hard to do alone. Having resources or support helps keep you anchored in that allow and continue mindset, prevents you from slipping back into trying to fix the symptoms, and really helps you achieve that full, lasting desensitization.
Makes sense. It's a practice, not a one-time fix.
Exactly.
Okay, so maybe the final thought for everyone listening today, something to really chew on.
Yeah, I think it's this. Consider that maybe the biggest hurdle in your recovery isn't actually the feeling of anxiety itself, as awful as it is. Maybe the biggest hurdle is the constant hyper-focused effort to solve it, to analyze every symptom, to optimize every little thing, hoping to make it disappear instantly. What if you shifted that focus? What if you poured that energy instead into just living your life fully, consistently, without apology, even with those temporary morning feelings tagging along for a while? Because often it's that deliberate choice, I'm living my life anyway, that's the moment the nervous system finally gets the message that the danger has passed and it can finally stand down.